The SME Clinic, brought to you in association with Zenedin, your accountancy experts in supporting local businesses to grow.
Sean, you're very welcome to the show. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Amber.
So I think you're going to be taking over the SME Clinic as well. We're going to be hearing a lot from you this year, as well as other contributors as well. But it's great to have you on board. So delighted to have you on the show.
Thank you. Delighted to be doing it. Yeah.
That's fantastic. So, Sean, it's the start of a new year, and it was like in our personal lives as well. What New Year's resolutions maybe should small business owners be thinking of this year?
That's right, Amber. Yeah, like you say, a lot of people kind of use January as a month to reflect, you know, what can I do better for the coming year? You know, things like gym memberships increase in the month of January. But for business owners, and owning a business is really a large part of your life, it's a good time of year to think about maybe what can I do better in my business in the coming year. So just put together a couple of ideas. And, you know, we all know January it's a natural reset point for business owners. It's a chance to step back from the day-to-day firefighting and ask, well, what can I do better this year? You know, in business, no one sits you down and reviews your performance for you. You kind of have to be proactive about it and do it yourself. So it's a good time of year to think about these things. One of the biggest improvements I see successful businesses make is getting timely and reliable numbers. So not just once a year, but every month. So I think a really good goal for 2026 would be to keep your books in better shape throughout the year. Not just, you know, we've all been there and done a big bang of bookkeeping the night before the VAT return and you say, oh, never again. But, you know, January is a great time for a change of mindset, you know, and that maybe to see bookkeeping as not just done for compliance, not just to get that VAT return or payroll return or income tax return in. It's there to give business owners vital information week to week, month to month about the health of the business. How's it performing? And I think that would be a good mindset to get into. Just maybe put a little bit more value on your bookkeeping. So if you aren't doing so already, what I'd really recommend is use a bookkeeping system. Most of them are cloud-based now. It's quite easy to sign up for one. There's probably a 1 month free trial on a lot of them. And there are a lot of good ones. I wouldn't recommend one over the other. And that allows you to move away from maybe you're using Excel or maybe you're even using paper. And it comes with huge benefits then. Yeah. So if you get your business onto a system, and January is the time to do it. Most of us have a December year end. So you're starting a new financial year as well. It's cheaper than you think. Many of these systems are like 40 to 70 euro per month, you know, so it doesn't cost the earth. And once they're set up, they're set up. And what it can do that's much better than just Excel or our paper-based system is these are online. So many of them can actually link to your bank account, pull in your bank transactions. You can even send your purchases into these systems and they'll actually read it for you, you know, so you'll get a draft reading of your purchase invoices. Yeah. So it saves a lot of time on data entry and the drudgery of, you know, the traditional thing that maybe gave bookkeeping a negative name. So these systems will do a lot of the heavy lifting for you. And then once you have it in place, you will have more accurate data at your fingertips, you know, throughout the year. And it leads to lower year-end costs for businesses as well and fewer nasty surprises when you know what's going on throughout the year. Some businesses, I know I'm conscious, some listeners will have systems in place already. And they may have a bookkeeper in-house who's maintaining those systems, but they might never look at the figures themselves. So that's something else I'd encourage the business owner is, you know, bookkeepers now will be annoyed at me for suggesting this, but I would ask them, you know, when your bookkeeper or your accountant is coming to you with your VAT figure, you know, that's due, ask, well, what were my sales like in the last 2 months? What were my costs were? Could I have an idea of maybe what my margin was? You know, so all those figures the bookkeeper would have already because they've just done the VAT return. And maybe get access to the system yourself and just have a look, compare your sales to the same month last year, the same quarter as last year, and see are you up or you're down. It'll really make a difference to your business. Another reason would be the revenue are phasing out annual VAT returns. So okay. 2025 was the last year that you could do an annual VAT return. So this year businesses are going to have to do a return every 2 months if you were on an annual return. So that alone makes, you know, what I would say proper bookkeeping is non-negotiable now, you know, if you're filing VAT returns every 2 months. So at the end of all that, then, if we ask ourselves, what does a good bookkeeping system look like? So a business owner should be able to know what your margins are. If you're in a restaurant or if you're selling goods, you need to know what profit have I left over after paying for my stock. That's your gross margin. And wage costs, as we all know, have increased a lot over the last number of years. So you need to know what your wages as a percentage of sales was and track it throughout the year. You know, see how these metrics are looking from month to month and from quarter to quarter. And I think, you know, business owners will have a much better chance of achieving their goals than for 2026.
Yeah, fantastic. Great advice there as well. Are there any other maybe practical tips that you'd have for SMEs and maybe what they should be doing this year?
I suppose it's kind of linked to having a system in place. Like that would be the foundation. Have a basic bookkeeping system that you just have, you know what your numbers are month to month. So what I'd recommend, Amber, is a budget. Now, people, when they hear of being asked to do a budget, they kind of think back to their school days and it's like getting an Irish essay for the weekend. But it doesn't have to be that complicated, and it's really useful, you know. Yeah. Like what I would describe a budget in its simpler form is it's simply writing down what you expect to happen financially this coming year, you know. So don't overthink it. I would start with a basic budget with last year's, say, sales figures, for example. A budget should always run on a monthly basis, so there's no point in doing weekly or quarterly, is too big a time period. Mm-hmm. So have 12 columns. You could do it on Excel. What were your sales last year? What do you expect your sales to be this year? Look at your main costs, like wages. Again, as I mentioned earlier, wage costs are increasing a lot. So, you know, if you have employees, you're going to need to account for extra costs this coming year. So look at what your wage costs were last year. If you have the same number of employees, estimate, for example, a 6 or 7% increase in that cost year on year. How does that look then? You might start asking yourself, well, I actually need to do 10% more sales this year just to stand still because my wage costs are going up. So having a budget kind of gives you a bit of a roadmap. 2026, you could see it as a business journey. Do you know? Having a budget that shows you coming out at the end of the year with a profit gives you confidence as well in the year. You know, you might have factored in for extra costs coming up, like, I don't know, renovations to your premises. But if you've those costs in your budget and you know your sales and your profit should be able to handle it, it gives you confidence to go through 2026. Yes. And for new business owners that might be listening this evening, calculating your break-even point is linked to having a budget. That's really important, you know. So you need to know, how much sales do I need to make every week or every month to just break even? And a budget is a target. And the last thing I'd say about budgets is don't create one and put it into a drawer and leave it there gathering dust. You know, you need to pull it out at the end of every month and check, how am I doing versus where I thought I'd be.
Okay, brilliant. Great advice. Our listeners, I suppose, as well, Sean, will know that, you know, many of the rule changes in the budget that are only taking effect this month, so from the 1st of January, I suppose they would have come into place. Are there any notable items that SME owners should maybe be watching out for now, maybe?
That's right, Amber. Yeah, so I suppose the budget gets talked about a lot in October, November, and then we go into Christmas and we kind of forget about it. But you're right, most of the measures actually take effect from the 1st of January. This budget that was in October, there wasn't a huge amount of new measures brought in, to be honest. Our tax rates or tax bans didn't change. So in terms of income tax, capital gains tax and CAT, which is like inheritance tax or gift tax, they didn't really change. Nothing worth noting there anyway. The one thing that I would point out is there's a relief from capital gain tax called entrepreneur's relief. So if you sell your business, normally that sale of an asset is due tax at 33%. So that would be capital gains tax. But there's always been an entrepreneur relief there where the first €1 million of your proceeds is taxed at 10%. So it's a good incentive for people, you know, if they're looking at doing something different or if they feel that they brought their business as far as they can, you know, now might be the time to sell. Now, the limit of €1 million has increased to €1.5 million from the 1st of January this year. So that's quite a large increase. Yeah. And what I would say is owners need to make sure that they're meeting the criteria to get that relief a couple of years in advance. Yeah. It's not something that you can actually fix in the year you're selling your business. You do need to think about, for example, how have I distributed my shares? You know, so you might have, maybe it might be a husband and wife team that's involved in the business. Are the shares split equally? Are there children involved in the business? Okay. Is it worth transferring some shares to them as well? So these things do need to be thought about, particularly, you know, when you now have a 1.5 million limit per person of the 10% rate. The other thing that affects business that changed, and this is positive as well, is the R&D tax credit rate. Mm-hmm. So that rate has been 25% for years and years. And last year they brought it up to 30%. And now this year it's going another 5%. So it's 35%, which is making it a lot more attractive, you know. Yeah. So in many cases as well, you can receive an actual cash payment from revenue instead of just the tax credit. So it's they've made the R&D credit more attractive again from this year. And I suppose the kind of the last thing that jumped out at me, and again, we touched on it a bit earlier, is the annual VAT returns. Mm-hmm. So because it's something that I don't know, is it really well flagged, and some business owners mightn't have been aware of it until quite late in the day. But those businesses that filed their annual VAT return, generally they would be actually filed this month. So you'd be filing your annual VAT return for 2025 this month. That would be a thing of the past after this month. So you'll be filing returns every 2 months. So that links in with my earlier recommendation of having good record keeping.
Yeah, and it's a good one to note as well, because as you said, just in case people are, I suppose, were of the old mindset, it's worth flagging and making them aware of it as well. Sean, as you were talking there, you mentioned the R&D. Can you just explain, I suppose, a little bit more to us maybe what it means for businesses across Kerry and, I suppose, the benefit that it might bring to them as well?
Yeah, definitely. What I'd say about the R&D claim is think ahead. That's the key. Don't go spending money on a project and then you get to the end of the year and you think, well, how can we get some R&D claim out of this? You know, the key to it would be to start the project with the knowledge that you're going to be doing an R&D claim at the end of the year. You'll have better record keeping for the claim, you'll make better decisions then, and the money that you spend on the R&D is much more likely to be the tax deductible qualifying spend if you start with the mindset of doing it. Yeah. So I would always kind of view R&D tax credit as it's, you know, I suppose if you think about the income tax system, it has two main benefits really. One, it's revenue raising for government. Every country needs to raise taxes. But two, and this isn't often thought about, it is a mindset changer. So it's trying to encourage people to do different things. It's a bit like the, you know, the plastic bag levy. In a way, you could view that as a tax, but it helped change people's behaviours. So what the government is signalling here by making R&D credit much more attractive is they want to encourage business owners to do more R&D in-house, which I think is great, you know, because that's the backbone of our economy in Ireland, is our small and medium-sized businesses. And you don't have to be a very large organisation now to avail of a tax credit. That's the message. Business owners can view it as a way to de-risk, because all spending on R&D is risky. You know, that's by its nature. You don't know if it's going to work. You may not find the solution that you were looking for to the problem to advance your product. So if you're spending, you know, €10,000 trying to find that, you should know that because of the R&D tax credit, when you add in your 12.5% corporation tax deduction, it's 47.5% of that spend you're getting back. You know, so even if you're a small business, and it could be, you know, something like you're trying to extend the shelf life of your product by a couple of days because maybe you're trying to get into the UK or the European market, you know, you can go out and you can research and try and develop new ways of doing that. And the money that you've spent on that is allowable in most cases as qualifying spend for R&D. So you'll get almost half of that back. So I think, you know, again, it's mindset we're talking about here at the start of the year. Think about what areas of your business have you thought about improving? What technical problems are there and what solutions do you think you could find? And what I would say is you'll get great support from your local enterprise office, and if you're a larger organisation, Enterprise Ireland, you know, they'll recommend you to experts in the area of science or engineering to help you along the way, and there's grants available as well on top of the R&D tax credit. I suppose the last thing to touch on it is generally referred to as an R&D tax credit, but like I alluded to earlier, you can actually get a cash refund from revenue. So some businesses may not have much of a tax bill because they may not be that profitable in the early stages. If you're spending money in developing your service or your business, you can actually generate a cash refund from revenue. So that's a real boost to businesses. So I'd recommend businesses don't just see it as something for a larger organisation. Have a chat with your accountants, and there's often an opportunity to do a claim there at the start of the year to plan for your claim, and then you make the claim at the end of the year.
Brilliant. Yeah, it sounds like it's going to be a huge benefit to people as well. And as you said, of businesses of all sizes, which is great as well.
47% back on spend, you know, on qualifying spend is a serious boost to businesses, definitely.
It certainly is. It's fantastic to hear. Sean, just before we finish up, are there any other measures maybe that are being brought in this year that our listeners just need to be aware of?
There are. Well, auto-enrolment. I know that's been covered on the show here in the past and we've heard a lot about it. The ads are still running on the radio. So I suppose just to remind our listeners that it has come into effect, you know. So employees who are on weekly wages have probably seen it in their payslip already. The monthly payslips probably haven't gone out yet, so people are getting paid at the end of January, so they'll start to see that deduction from their payslip, and employers will start to get the liability that they will have to pay the middle of next month over to the My Future Fund. So just to keep that in mind, there will probably, I would imagine, once we get into the first week in February, there'll be more queries from employees, you know, after they've received their payslip. So just to be ready for that. The other thing of note is the minimum wage has increased as well. So that was announced last year, but comes into effect from the 1st of January. So it's just under a 5% increase. So it's not small. So the minimum wage was €13.50. It's now €14.15. So again, if you're employing people, make sure that you're not falling foul of that. There is a new rate. Interestingly, I mean, we spoke about labour costs and the benefit of businesses tracking them. Yeah. Like if you look at a 3-year period, the minimum wage has increased by 25%. Mm-hmm. You know, it was €11.30 back in 2023. So it's quite a significant increase. Obviously, we can understand why they need to do it. The cost of living is gone up hugely as well. But for businesses, you know, that would have a significant number of staff, you need to factor that into your budget because it's another increase. And so the last thing, again, it's been well flagged, but it's a reminder that it's happening this year, is the VAT rate for hospitality and hairdressing as well. So it was 13.5% with the last number of years. They're bringing it back down to the 9% rate, which I think is very positive, particularly for Kerry, you know, because we've got such a large hospitality and tourism based businesses here. So just a reminder to listeners, that doesn't quite kick in January. It's the 1st of July that VAT reduction will come in. And also what's a little bit different about it this time is accommodation is not included, you know. Mm-hmm. So, for example, I know all the hotels will be, you know, well aware of it, but people listening that may have Airbnbs, you know, some Airbnbs around Kerry now, they're quite an attractive business. They're often doing enough sales that they're registered for VAT themselves. That VAT rate will stay at 13.5% for accommodation. That's not going back to 9%. But certainly food, catering and hairdressing can look forward to a bit of a break on the VAT from the 1st of July.
Fantastic. No, it's great news for Kerry, as you mentioned as well. It's an important one for us here. But Sean, thanks so much, because we've gone through a load there, and it's great to get the important ones out there and make sure the businesses are planning ahead for the year ahead. As you said, we'll be talking to you again next month on the SME Clinic. But thanks so much for taking the time to join me this evening.
Absolutely, Emma. My pleasure. Thank you.
The SME Clinic, brought to you in association with Zenedin, your accountancy experts in supporting local businesses to grow.